Star Trek is made of mysteries. We know that. My name is Mike McCafferty. This is I Just Want to Talk About Star Trek. This is a little video here I'm making. I have to come up with the music. Bum, 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 bum. Are you insane? They are insane. That'll have to do for right now. And to be honest, like I shouldn't be doing this little mini dive here, but I was watching this microphone. I was watching the TNG episode Redemption Part 2, and a character popped up that has fascinated me for years. And the more I watched him, the more he became an interesting mystery. I'm going to play this now. If you're watching on the, I guess I'll post it on the Facebook page. We have a great Facebook page. I'm playing a Star Trek role-playing game I'm making myself. We're going to play it tomorrow, actually. And that's fabulous. But I want to mix it up. I always want to make sure that you get, you know, a healthy supply of stuff. Not just like goofball deep dives or me playing a role-playing game or me driving in my car ranting about my existence. But I want to deep dive. I want to talk about stuff. I want to talk about stuff that's interesting to me. And this was interesting to me. I'm looking at Redemption Part 2, which is okay. It's an okay season premiere. Okay season. I don't know. I feel like a lot of the ideas, a lot of the things they were scared about in Next Generation of like, oh, we can't have a whole season of a Klingon war. Deep Space Nine went to it. Dominion War, you bet. Klingon War, you bet. Let's just do it. But TNG was still a syndicated show. So they were a little more afeard to go all in. Because what if someone turned up on an episode, they didn't know what was going on? We don't have that problem anymore, do we? No one shows up to Netflix and watches episode 9 of a series anymore. They don't just stumble across that, do they? Which is kind of unfortunate in some ways. It's kind of unfortunate not to be able to stumble across a series in the middle of a show, the middle of an episode, and say, oh, well, I wonder if more of these are good. Now, the price for doing that is, of course, is have to reset every single episode, who your characters are to a degree and what the universe is and all that sort of stuff. And so you can't have these long soap opera-like storylines. But Star Trek, the original series, was based on the idea that you're going to stumble across it. And so was TNG. So they were much more afeard. I'm using afeard. I'm writing for a cowboy show right now. And so I'm learning all this 1880s jargon, but they're a little more afeard to have plot lines beyond two episodes, and they would experiment with it a little bit. You know, you had like some characters come through, like have arcs or like Ensign Row a little bit, but for the most part, it was, this is what you see is what you get. We're going to give you, you know, 44 minutes out of an hour's worth of entertainment. And the rest you're going to watch soap commercials. Boom. But I was watching this episode. I'm not quite sure why. I think I was watching it just to watch Data yell at Mr. Hobson when they're on the Sutherland, the Donald Sutherland. Now, if you don't know about this episode, it is when the Enterprise is sort of roped into the Klingon Civil War, with Worf being a strong part of it. And at the end of the first episode, he resigns from Starfleet to fight with his brother Kern against Lursan Bator and fight with Gowron. Lots of fun characters in this. And we'll have to deep dive on this whole thing later on. But I want you, actually I have to, let me just stop this for a second. I want to share the audio with this. I want you to listen to this one little passage, which was always fascinating. It's always fascinating. This guy right here. This guy, I believe his name is Ensign Craig. And let's just start here.
All Federation ships proceed at maximum warp to Gamma Eridon.
We're going
to
get flagged.
Acknowledge the signal. Ensign, lay in a course and engage at warp 9.3.
Aye, sir.
So that's the first thing. He has two lines. He has two lines in this. I'm going to scrub ahead. So then Commander Hobson is just being a jackass on this. He doesn't like robots. He doesn't like to deal with robots. Even though they're both lieutenant commanders. He's just like, hey, man, reassign me. And Data's like, nope, no way. And this guy is a terrible lieutenant commander. At every juncture, he basically stops Data from being a good captain. And which like you're in the middle of possible Romulan Klingon Federation Civil War, and instead you're being petty. So he's a bad lieutenant commander all the way around. But Data's on the trail. He's trying to figure out how to find these Romulans with their cloaking device and with Commander Sela. Denise Crosby coming back, coming back. What if I did this? But they have this exchange. So this is the second exchange.
Around their own ships.
But we have no way of detecting it.
All stop.
Aye, sir. All stop.
That's it. That's the part that intrigued me for so many years. Let's just, we can do this again.
The Romulans may have caused a residual tachyon signature to form around their own ships.
But we have no way of detecting it.
All stop.
Aye, sir. All stop.
Why do I like that? Why do I like this ensign? Someone older ensign too. He's probably in his 30s, maybe 40s. He has not progressed well in the Federation. Why is that such an interesting line for me? We could listen to it one more time, right? Of course we can.
On signature to form around their own ships.
But we have no way of detecting it.
All stop.
Aye, sir. All stop.
Why do I like it? So I started thinking about this past couple of days because I had to solve this mystery, right? No one else is going to solve this mystery. No one else is going to do the work that I do in this podcast. And you need to share this podcast with your friends. Say, hey, you know what? All those other jackass Trek FMs, they're all bad. They're all bad. They talk, they laugh, they giggle. They make surface level observations. They don't talk about Ensign Craig on the USS Sutherland having this interesting read of this line.
Dual tachyon signature to form around their own ships.
Listen to this guy.
But we have no way.
Isa, all stop.
All stop.
Isa, all stop.
Isa, all stop. So why did I like this? I like this for a couple reasons, even back in the day. One of the reasons is that first of all, you can hear the dialect. He has a little bit of a dialect, a little bit of British. His name is Clifton Jones. I just found that out. His name is Clifton Jones. And so he has a little bit of an affectation. Now, so you know, Star Trek The Next Generation adopted a transatlantic accent. I remember this. I remember when I was in college, I took a class for transatlantic dialect. And one of the things I said, oh, well, you can use this. Transatlantic dialect is a created dialect in the 30s and 40s. For American movies, with the idea that it sounds far more, a little more regal. It is literally across the Atlantic. It's not British. It's not necessarily American. It's transatlantic. You know, if you hear Gregory Peck talking like this, and who else? You know, the Thin Man. You know, was it Robert Powell? I can't remember who was. But if you hear those 30s and 40s dialects, that's transatlantic, and that's what they try to adopt in The Next Generation. Now, this guy here, he's further across the Atlantic. He's more into England. In fact, even a little bit of Jamaica, well, I guess that's back over here and it's south of us. But you can hear it's a slightly different accent. It's closer to Picard. One more time, right? We can do this one more time. What are you doing?
Tachyon signature.
Just listen to data, talk over and over again.
But we have no way of detecting it.
All stop.
Aye, sir. All stop.
So that's the first thing that flags out for you. It's like, oh, this guy, where is this guy from? We don't talk about it. We never talk about it in the episode. He's like, oh, I'm Ensign Craig, sir, and I'm from, you know, a Jamaican planet, or I'm from England, you know, or I'm from Sussex. Wherever he's from, it doesn't matter because he's just a little part of it. But we get this little bonus, this little mystery, which 30, 35 years later, I am pulling on that string of. So that's the first part. The second part that I really liked about this, and let me see if I can go back to him a little bit more. I can find the first thing. Now, if you're watching on Facebook.
Course and engage at warp 9.3.
Aye, sir.
So the other thing that I like about this guy, now all he just says is, aye, sir. Again, that little hint of that accent, aye, sir. I mean, there's not much to do, but here's what I like about him when I watched him a couple times. We like Star Trek because in some ways we're following off of the great Horatio Hornblower novels or storylines of that 18th, 19th century, you know, tall sailing ships. I mean, there's no subterfuge in this. Kind of mixed a little bit with World War II era American ships and a little bit of British sailing ships, Titanic or World War I kind of steamers. And I think in some ways, we are a little bit in love with that idea of these people, you know, of doing your job, and there's a chain of command, and someone says something and you say, yes, sir. Yes, sir. And you don't question it. You don't Americanize it by saying, why are we going to go there? Why don't we do this? Hobson is American. What are you doing? But the fleet said this. Now, he's right. The fleet did say move that way, and Data's kind of going off on his own, but that's what makes a good captain. This guy, he looks over Data, Aye, sir. And turns right back. He does not question. He doesn't have any opinion. If you watch a lot of times in any of the Star Treks, whenever an order is given, you will watch these American actors give this little flash of like, okay, what do I think about that? What's my opinion on this? Ensign Craig does not care. Ensign Craig is doing his job. He may have different opinions about Data, and certainly Hobson does, but not Craig. Craig's doing his job. I think that's the other thing I liked about it. There's a line, I believe, in The Balance of Terror where Kirk shouts out to Sulu, you know, phasers, point blank fire. And Sulu shouts it back, phasers, point blank fire. I could find it, but I'm not going to find it. I have to go in a couple minutes anyways. We have to go to my wife's mother's having her birthday party. We have to go to, you don't need to know that stuff. But I respect and like that this guy played this character. This is my job. You give me an order, aye, sir, all stop. I'm not going to question it. I'm not even going to look at him saying, wait, we're doing an all stop, but we've been ordered to retreat. Are you crazy? It is cut and dry. The captain says this, damn it, I'm going to do it. I like that. And for the past three decades, it is stuck with me. And so I started deep diving this guy. And it was hard to find. He's not credited. But of course, if you go to Memory Alpha, you can find him. His name is Ensign Craig. They also call him Craig. They call him Ensign, and I think they call him Craig at one point in time, Mr. Craig. So he's Ensign Craig. I don't know if you get the Mr. when you're an Ensign. I'm not sure. Anyway, so I started deep diving on him, and I discovered one of the reasons I also liked him is because he was a recurring in Space 1999. Another show I loved as a kid. Sort of like Star Trek, except you're on the moon, which is flying through space. Not the same, but I believe he was Kano. His name was Kano. Pretty cool. And I'll have to go back and watch that a little more. I thought I was just going to be over and done with this, but then I went a level deeper and saw that he played two different roles on this. So he played Redemption Part 1 and Part 2. And in that, he played a Klingon. And this is where it becomes fascinating. This is why other shows are terrible. Other podcasts are terrible because they don't do this kind of deep dive. They don't get down to these mysteries, but I have done it. So let's see if I can pull this up here. I'm there. He plays a Klingon. So I can very easily imagine. So we're in Redemption Part 1. We're on Gowron's ship. I don't remember what it's called. But it's the command, one of their command ships. And they're being fired upon by a couple of birds of prey, which always seems like a mismatch. Like birds of prey don't seem like they're that powerful. Like really, like two of those birds of prey can take like, you know, this battle cruiser out. But he's got one, he has two lines on this, but here's his line right here. Let's listen to this.
Send an emergency signal to any loyal ships. Impulse engines not responding.
Oh, now if you hear it, if you're watching it 20, 30 years ago, you're like, well, it's just another dude saying another thing. But listen, he's got that little hint of an accent. Let's listen to him.
Send an emergency signal to any loyal ships.
Impulse engines not responding.
Just a little one. He's trying not to be English on this one, right? And then like, hey, Clifton, great job being a Klingon. Great job with that one line. He's had a pretty good career. He's 83. He's still alive. I want to get this to him if I can some way. But they're like, hey, can you slide over to the Sutherland and do a line or two here? And he's like, yeah, hey, man, that's money, right? That's money. But here's where it all comes together. Clifton Jones played a helmsman on the USS Sutherland and played a helmsman on this Klingon ship. Same role, same guy. Different races, different ships. What do you think about that? Now, I will say he's got a very strong opinion about his feelings. Now, on this ship, everything's going to hell. Everything's sparking, going crazy, as all bridges on all Trek shows do. They all explode. I don't think they explode that much in Discovery. Maybe they don't. Or also in Picard. Man, they got big bridges on the new shows, don't they? They're gigantic, like football fields. But they don't explode as much. But this guy, I think it's called the Boras. Is that what I think it's called? The Boras, because for some reason it reminded me of the Orville. So maybe that's, let's listen to this one more time. This means that loud sound of the photon torpedo hitting the shields. And the, actually, I forgot how pretty the shields are on the Klingons. They're like red and green. So
send an emergency signal to any loyal ships.
Impulse engines not responding.
Impulse engines not responding. He has another line. Like, I think it's off camera. Or it's actually way far in the camera. He's like, aye, sir, something like that. But how exciting and cool of a mystery that is. Who knew that embedded in this very action-y two-parter season finale, season premiere, we would get a hidden mystery. The mystery of the moving helmsman. Helmsman move around anyways, right? They move things. What if a helmsman moved himself? What if he moved from one ship to another? From one episode to another, from one species to another. That is definitely worth an all stop to ponder. That's me applauding me. I didn't plan for that tag out to this episode, but damn if that wasn't good. That's an all stop. All stop. I'm Mike McCafferty. I just want to talk about Star Trek. All stop.